Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Shaden, and this is a recording of our Bible study at Hope Collective Church that meets every Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening. If you are in between ages 18 to 40 years old, you are welcome to join. But for now, please enjoy this week's episode.
A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Like, sometimes we imagine that when Jesus talked about this parable, it was in a room full of maybe atheists, Buddhists, Hindus, Scientologists. You know, I don't know. But the truth is, Jesus was talking to a bunch of believers, a bunch of Jews in that day. And in those days, it wasn't about trying to convince people that there is a God. It wasn't really about that in those days. They all basically believed that there is a God. It wasn't about convincing them that there is a God. It was all common knowledge. Like how we all speak English, that's a common language. It was a common language back then to talk about God. So when Jesus is saying this parable, he's talking to a bunch of believers in a sense. Today we can say he's talking to a bunch of Christians. Of course, they didn't use that word back then, right? But I think you get the point. He's talking to godly people who believe in God, who read the Bible, who study the scriptures. In fact, I'm sure the audience that Jesus said this parable to knew scripture way more than any of us. Some of these people in the audience memorized the first 5 books of the Bible when they were age 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Memorized. Psalms, memorized. Some of the books of the prophets, memorized. Like, they were very knowledgeable. And Jesus is telling this parable to those people. So let that settle in real quick. Just because you believe doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you believe in the knowledge and the information of the Bible doesn't mean you're producing fruit. Sketchy. Again, you can see now why Jesus angered a lot of people. Because he's basically saying, yeah, you really thought that the good news was for the Jews, but which is true, but it really is for only those who actually really follow me. I am the only way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't matter who your father was. If you are a descendant of Abraham, if you call yourself a Jew, doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, right? We kind of talked about that last week too, how when Jesus stepped on the scene and he said those words in the temple, he basically said, you guys are just as filthy and have unbelief, just like your ancestors. God's going to overlook you just like he overlooked your ancestors. Heavy. This parable here, it's not a cute little parable. Jesus is like calling people out. Like, oh, you think that you're good because you go to church on Sunday? Really? You read your Bible? You brought your Bible to Bible study? You think you're good? This was a challenge. If you read the parable in context, there's more to it. In verse 13, Jesus quotes something in Isaiah, right? Basically, those who have eyes do not see, those who have ears do not hear. That's a very common phrase in those days. Because in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah, There was Jews of Judea that were disobedient, rebellious, and they were considered basically people with eyes that are blind, people with ears that are deaf. It's like basically you're dumb. Like, you're dumb. So who is Jesus talking to here? Again, he's saying this to believers. You think you believe, but you don't actually believe. You think you know God, but you don't actually know God. Jesus is saying, listen to me. I got the keys. I got the way. I'm the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way is through me. But many of you guys are blind. Many of you guys are deaf. Many of you guys are going to miss it. This parable here is about our response to the kingdom of heaven, to Jesus. He's not trying to convince anyone that there is a God. Hey, you got to go to church and believe. If not, then you're going to burn in hell. So repeat this sinner's prayer after me. You don't see Jesus doing that. In fact, you'll never see Jesus saying, repeat this prayer after me and then you will be saved. In fact, Jesus gives them a hard message sometimes, and he's like, are you sure you want to follow me? How are you responding to the gospel? It doesn't matter how you believe. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter if you grew up memorizing the Torah, know all the answers to the Midrash. It doesn't matter. What matters is how you respond to Jesus. If you respond correctly to Jesus, then you'll get it. If you don't respond correctly, you're going to miss it. So this is kind of like a foundation for the rest of the parables, for the rest of his teachings. So these four soils are different responses, right? And most of you guys already know this, so I'm going to go through this kind of fast. So the first one, path. This one is you're captivated by Jesus, but you lose attention. Superficial commitment, shallow discipleship, and you're captivated by other things. Next one, rocky. Receives Jesus enthusiastically, but falls away in difficulty and suffering. Thorns. Oh, I'm sorry. It's supposed to be turned away from Jesus because of material pursuit. Sorry. Thorns also, according to Jewish tradition in those days, was always meant like a metaphor for evil. And the last one is good soil. And good soil is someone that listens and follows, or listens and obeys. There are two major issues with the three wrong responses: enticement of evil, temptations or distractions, and temporary or unauthentic discipleship. I don't know about you, but I am very, very guilty. I'm always enticed with distractions. I always fall short with discipleship. Always. It's a daily struggle for me. I'm not going to be up here and pretend that I have good soil all the time. If you guys know me, it's like, mm-mm. Good Lord. I need grace more than anybody. But I believe it is a daily decision you have to make. A daily following, a daily dying to yourself. One day, I'm like the thorns. One day, I'm like the path. One day, I'm like the rock. Maybe one day or 2 days a week, I'm like the good soil, to be honest. For maybe a couple hours, right? Like, to be honest, like, it's tough. I worry a lot. I'm distracted a lot. I have a bad attitude a lot. If you see me on the road, like, there's a lot of things I need to work on. But daily, I have to remember, like, I have to make a conscious decision to be good soil. When you're a farmer, the only thing you care about is fruit. If you plant papayas and it's a male and it's only doing flowers but no fruit, you cut it because it's meaningless. You're not going to water that papaya plant. What's the point of watering it and keeping it alive? What's the point of stripping weeds from it if it's not going to produce fruit? Just get rid of it, right? It all comes down to fruit. If you don't produce fruit, if the tree is not producing fruit, then what's the point? There's an interesting story, and this is the only story in the gospel where Jesus does a miracle that results in a curse. You can't argue and say, well, but what about the time he cast out the demons and they went into the pigs? Yeah, that's true, but there was redemption in that story. So it wasn't just a destructive miracle. This one right here is a miracle that is just destruction. I'm going to read it. It's in Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Oh, Jesus was hangry, bro. Like, yeah, Jesus, chill. Like, and his disciples heard him say it. Like, the writer, which we believe is Mark, had to write that in. Disciples heard him say it because I'm sure they're like, what is wrong with Jesus? Right? Like, the guy who heals everybody. Yeah, right? It's crazy. But of course, this right here is going way deeper than just Jesus is hungry and he's pissed off because there's no food. What he's referring to is, I expect fruit. And if you're showing off like you're someone that is producing fruit, you better be legit. That's so heavy. Right here, Jesus is pretty angry because there's a tree that appears to be showing that it is fruiting, that it is producing fruit. But when Jesus gets closer, he starts to see your heart. He starts to see your mind. He starts to see when you're all alone, or when you're with your boyfriend or your girlfriend all alone. when you're on the phone with that one friend that's gossiping, when you're on the web, on the Instagram talking or whatever, Snapchat, whatever, I don't know. Jesus is going, I'm looking now. Like it's, it looks like you got leaves. It looks like you're full of life and you're full of Christianity, but when I get closer and start to really dive in deep and look inside, I don't see any fruit. Every single day, it comes down to your response. The moment you wake up, spend time with the Lord. If you guys make a habit, even if it's just like 2 minutes in the morning, again, God is not looking every day and going, oh, you didn't do your morning devotion, therefore you're a bad, your seed is thrown on the path or on the thorns. That's not how God's doing this, right? I don't think so. But it's just a habit to create physically, mentally, and spiritually. And when you're doing that, you're telling yourself, this is your day, Lord, right? And you're already responding. I would say you're responding in good soil. Because you want to start off your day with the Lord and going, this is your day, let it be yours, right? Good fruit is not someone who doesn't sin or someone who has never sinned. There are some toxic religious people or toxic Christianity where they say you're disqualified because you've done this, you've done that. Oh, you had premarital sex. Oh, you've done drugs. You're not a good fruit. You're not a good person. Because a good tree will never produce bad fruit. You probably heard that before. I want to cancel that right now in the name of Jesus. Okay? That is canceled. If you ever had any Christian leader, Christian pastor say that to you, that is not of the Lord. We can produce good fruit because we are in Christ. That's the bottom line. In Christ. That's the bottom line. So to produce good fruit is to follow your identity in Christ. To live that out. That identity of being in Christ. Okay? But just because you've had a past, even yesterday, if you did something crazy yesterday that was just like, you blew it. There is grace there. There is mercy there. When you repent, you ask God's forgiveness, he comes in and he looks at you as if you've never sinned. That does not disqualify you from not producing good fruit or being like Christ. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And that's why it's called good news. And again, Jesus is talking about, when he's talking about parables, most of the time he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, right? Bowing down to him, submitting to him, following him, what he has for you each and every day.
Thank you for listening to this week's Bible study at Hope Collective Church. Feel free to join us next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. if you are in between ages 18 to 40, or join our Sunday morning service at 8 or 9:30. See you next time.